Catholic Radio Indy now presents Faith in Action, a program that looks at how everyday people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Our program is underwritten in part by Franciscan St. Francis Health, providing faith-based integrated health care, a recipient of HealthGrade's 2015 America's 100 Best Hospitals Award, and by Marian University, a great Catholic university dedicated to providing students with excellence in teaching and learning in the Franciscan and liberal arts tradition, preparing transformative leaders for service to the world. And now, here's today's edition of Faith in Action. You're listening to Faith in Action here on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host today is MJ Crowder, and well, we've got a guest that I can't wait to get to, but this time of the year, we really do need to sneak in just a little. Everybody's going to be shopping. A lot of people shop online. A lot of people shop through Amazon, and there's such a thing called Amazon Smile. You can get to it by our website, or you can just Google it, or any Yahoo, whatever you want to do to it. You'll get to it. They'll ask you what charity you want to give to. Once you tell it that, Catholic Radio Indy, we will get 0.5% of whatever you buy. So have fun. Knock yourself out.
I used it this morning. It's the easiest thing.
And you think, well, what difference does 0.5% make?
It adds up.
We have a lot of listeners, and you got a lot of shopping to do.
It does. And the nice thing about Amazon is they will wrap it for you. Most things you can wrap, and it comes right to your door within a couple of days. So smile at Amazon, or Amazon Smile, and kind of a painless way of giving to Catholic Radio.
And we do get a check for that.
And we do. Our guest today on Faith in Action kind of came to us in a wonderful way, and that's really the point here of having your own local Catholic radio station in Indianapolis. Jim was at St. Louis de Montfort at a mission that was being given a few weeks ago, and he was so enthralled by the speaker that he sent me a late night email and said, hey, we've got to have this guy in quick before he gets out of town. And so we have him. Stephen Binns, welcome.
Thank you.
Author at least 40 times over, a psychotherapist, a biblical scholar. I could go on and on. Your bio is quite extensive. Thank you for slipping over and seeing us today, though.
Oh, I'm happy to. Great being with you.
Now, there's so much that we want to talk about. Specifically, Jim was really struck by all of the information that you had about the Year of Mercy coming up. Before we get to that, let's find out a little bit more about you, because many of our listeners will not have had the opportunity to hear you at St. Louis de Montfort. So tell us a little bit about you, where you hail from, your family.
Well, I'm first of all a Catholic Christian, and I'm a writer and a speaker. So I do a lot of speaking around the country at churches, parish missions, conferences, and that sort of thing. And I also write books, a lot of biblical commentary, biblical spirituality, and that sort of thing. And my background is I have advanced degrees in theology and in biblical studies, so and as well as LCSW in social work.
Okay, so let me ask you a quickie question. Jim usually asks this, but we have a lot of authors who come on Faith in Action. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? Was it the, did you start speaking and doing researching and when you were a psychotherapist or psychoanalyst, and then the bug to share through reading? Or how did the writing of books come about? Was that just a natural? Well, tell us.
Was doing mostly teaching at the beginning of my career, and then I started working in with Catholic publishing. So I began to write a number of different Bible studies for different publishers, and then began to write a lot of biblical spirituality, and I got into pilgrimage and leading pilgrimages to the Holy Land and other biblical lands. And that led to parishes, you know, inviting me to come in and speak and at conferences, and I've done keynote speeches for a number of different conferences around the country. So it all just sort of happened together. And actually, the psychotherapy came in the middle of that.
Oh, really?
I had been doing biblical studies and writing for many, many years. And then I decided, well, I sort of a career change in some ways, but But the way it turned out, it just enhanced my biblical studies and my biblical spirituality, because I studied social work, and I'm an LCSW, licensed clinical social worker, and I've done some counseling and working in hospitals and working in children's hospitals and that sort of thing with family counseling and that sort of thing. But the biblical background just added to that, and the counseling added to my understanding of Scripture and people's relationships with God and the whole area of healing and change in people's lives.
Well, and that's a great segue to what I want to talk about next, healing and change. You talk about personal transformation and healing and bridge building, if you will. And I do want to touch upon that a little bit before we get into the Year of Mercy, because I think that the Year of Mercy is going to be a profound time in our lives. I really do. We've talked about a little bit here on Catholic Radio, but you mentioned something in your talk, and Jim talked about this first thing this morning when he came in, and he was kind of excited. And I thought, you know, I think there are a lot of listeners who would like to hear a little bit more about that. And that is the bridge between the Old and the New Testament, and specifically the God. Often we hear the God of the Old Testament was this harsh God who was a taskmaster, if you will. And then often we hear about the God of the New Testament being embraced and forgiving and loving and generous and kind and even more merciful, if you will. And what is, explain to us a little bit about the bridge, because we're not talking about two different gods. We're talking about one God, and yet often he is separated by these two testaments. Tell us what we don't understand about that.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right when you say that that it's the same God. The Old Testament, the God of the Old Testament who revealed himself to his people Israel. When you read that, there are some passages that are violent and speak about God's wrath and that sort of thing. But when we look at that in context, it's all about the holiness of God. You know, God cannot do anything other than, you know, hate evil and love good. And that's what God does throughout the Scriptures. When we read the prophets, for example, and the Psalms and the writings of the Old Testament, this is a merciful God. You know, God's first action among his people is to save them from slavery. And the way that the book of Exodus speaks about that is so, so beautiful. God hears the cry of his people. God comes down to rescue them. God, you know, brings them out of slavery into a new and abundant life. And that's the foundation of our Jewish Christian faith. And so the Old Testament was the Bible of Jesus, the Bible of the early Christians. And God in that Bible is merciful and loving and caring and always goes the distance for his people. And so when we move into the New Testament, we see that all of what we discovered about God in the Old Testament is personified and focused in the person of Jesus. Because the life of Jesus is to put a face on the Father. You know, to show us the Father in human, tangible form. And so all of Jesus' teaching and his healing and his care for people is to express the mercy of the Father for humanity.
I like the way, you know, when Jim came in this morning, he said, I could listen to this guy for hours, and I'm mesmerized just listening to you. I can see how you are a very effective speaker, how you would be wonderful at missions. If you are a pastoral director, associate, and you're listening right now and you want more, I bet you this guy could be coerced to coming back to Indianapolis for another mission. Am I right on
of
that?
Of course, yes. Okay, any kind of speaking, I do retreats and conferences and all sorts of things.
And so,
and I love Indianapolis.
And you'll find him easily on the internet, Stephen J. Binns. I found last night there was a Stephen A. Binns, too. And I don't remember what it is, but one shows up as often as the other. So you're looking for the J.
Okay, we are going to, I want to get a couple more things in before the break. You've written 40 books, and we're going to talk about a couple of them when we come back from the break, kind of in conjunction with maybe aids to the Year of Mercy, I mean, in helping us understand that. I think that I want to save that for the second half, because that is just a powerful, powerful, beefy topic for us. But let's wrap up talking about books. So you've written a lot of books on a lot of subjects. What two or three come to mind right now, and where can we get them? Can we go to Amazon and just Amazon Binz, B-I-N-Z, and you'd come up? Is that the easiest way to get them?
Yeah, just enter Stephen, S-T-E-P-H-E-N, right, Stephen Binz.
Okay.
I have an author page, and so you can see all the different books I've written.
All right, so the biggie, the couple biggies that come to mind that you think, those were beefy ones. I enjoyed that.
I'll tell you about my most recent book that just came out a couple of months ago, and it's on the person of Peter. It's called Peter, Flawed, Forgiven, and Faithful.
When I love him so much, I think we identify with him so much. Don't we all identify with him?
For sure, yeah. He's a great older brother for us, in our walk with Christ. And so what I do with Peter is I take the reader on a pilgrimage, basically, from Galilee to Jerusalem to Rome, and sort of follow the life of Peter in the Scriptures, through the Gospels and Acts of the Apostles, to his leadership of the church in Rome and his martyrdom there. So I integrate pilgrimage and Scripture and spiritual reflection throughout that book.
Oh, that sounds like a good one. We need to take a break, and we'll be right back.
We know life can be a bit hectic, so you may not have the time to catch your favorite Catholic radio indie programs when they air. That's why we now have all of our weekend and weekday locally produced programs available on podcast. You can listen to Faith in Action, The Last Pew, and Catholic Jukebox Indiana, along with our newest shows, The Faith-Filled Physician and The Catholic Cave, anytime, 24/7, by going to our website, catholicradioindy.org, click on the programming tab, then go to podcasts of local programs. All your favorites will be waiting for you right there, so you can check out our local program offerings anytime. Catholic Radio Indy, your source for 100% Catholic programming on the air and now available on podcast.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. Our guest today, Stephen J. Binz, B-I-N-Z, Binz. You know, I was taught actually when I was in the eighth grade, but I've forgotten this until recently, that you actually pronounce the word B-E-E-N like B-I-N. And I thought of that as I was pronouncing your name, Ben.
That's a good way to remember.
But do you say, Ben, I have been here before, or Ben? Which way do you do that? Do you say when I want to be lazy, I say I have been here, like B-E-N.
That's the way I
see. And technically, I think you're supposed to say.
Well, I'm from the South, so that colors everything. I'm from Little Rock originally, and I live in Baton Rouge, Louisiana now with my wife. So we're.
And I was looking for that sweet little Southern accent, and I don't hear it at all.
Well, I lost it along the way.
Oh, okay, all right. We were talking a little bit about the Year of Mercy, the books that you've written. I really want to get into more about the Year of Mercy. It's right around the corner. And a couple things, two or three things that I want to talk about. First of all, how did it come to be? Because I think there's a little bit of a misunderstanding in the average Joe and Josephina in the pew about how the Year of Mercy, how the years, the themes are chosen and introduced.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Sure. A lot of Catholics, I think, are a bit confused, maybe, because we've been having a lot of years of this and that, and the Year of Faith most recently in conjunction with the 50th anniversary of the Second Vatican Council and that sort of thing. But this is something quite different. This is something that occurs in the church normally only every 25 years. It's called a jubilee or a holy year. And the roots actually are in the Old Testament, the book of Leviticus, in which every 50 years, debts were forgiven, people were forgiven, property and slaves returned to their original owners, everything was given a new start. And so the Catholic Church took this ancient understanding of the Jubilee year and applied it to a year of grace, and that is every, first of all, it was every 50 years, as in the Old Testament, and began in the year 1300 in the church. And then after a couple of holy years in the church, 1350 and 1400, then the Pope decided that every 25 years would be a holy year so that every person, every generation could experience a holy year. So the last holy year that we celebrated was in the year 2000, the great Jubilee year. And as you remember, Pope John Paul II opened the door of St. Peter's as the symbolic beginning of that holy year. And then, so normally the next holy year would be the year 2025. But occasionally in the church, a pope decides that for some particular reason or to honor some particular event in the church that there would be an extraordinary holy year, an extraordinary jubilee. And that's what Pope Francis has called. This is a holy year of mercy. So okay. It comes just between the year 2000 and 2025, specially designated extraordinary year of mercy.
Well, and I think that the average person in the pew is expecting this year to be significant for the Catholic Church. We're not only coming off a synod, but then in the, kind of in the middle of the talking about the synod on the family. And, you know, the Holy Father has talked about so many things that he is, that I think we can expect from the Year of Mercy. One thing that's kind of tough for, I think, us to understand is the idea of forgiveness. Most of us think that when we forgive someone, we are doing a great, offering a great gift to the person who has grieved us. I remember Father Phil from Holy Spirit at Geist used to famously say that not forgiving or holding a grudge is like drinking poison and expecting the other or giving poison and expecting the other person to die, drinking poison, expecting the other person to die, kind of like that. And you said something in your talk that was a little bit about forgiveness. I don't think most of us understand that it's a gift we give to ourselves.
Yes, it is.
And I think we need to understand that a little bit better going into this year because we all need not only forgiveness so desperately, but we need to forgive. And maybe you could help us understand a little bit. There was kind of a story that you told about a woman who is still alive today. And maybe we need to hear it because all of us have lots of grievances on both sides of the fence. And yet this story is compelling for a significant reason. So maybe help us understand a little bit about that.
Yes. Well, the story I told in the mission is about a friend of mine named Eva Moses Kaur, and she lives in Terre Haute, Indiana, and so many of you might be familiar with her. But she is a survivor of the Holocaust, and she is now 83 years old. And I went with her on a tour of Poland, and we went to Auschwitz, and that was the primary place where we focused. And she took us through her whole terrible experience of being brought from her home in Poland by cattle car, brought to the selection platform at Auschwitz. She never saw her parents or older brothers and sisters again, but she and her twin sister were brought into a special section of the death camp where medical experiments were done on them. And so she recounted that whole experience, and she was the camp was eventually liberated by the Russian army in 1945. And she returned to her home in Romania and discovered that none of her family had survived, and so she had to start life over again as best she could. Well, the memories and the pain of that event affected her very, very deeply, and she tells about the kind of person that she used to be, which was basically a victim, a very bitter and person who was not happy with life and who basically, you know, lived in that way. But then through a series of experiences, she was led to eventually write a letter of forgiveness to her persecutors at Auschwitz. And she slowly discovered that just through the writing of the letter, she became freer and freer. And she gradually, wrote that letter and then testified at Auschwitz. And she met one of the doctors at Auschwitz who did some of these medical experiments, who had horrible nightmares of his days at Auschwitz too. And she discovered that Nazis could have nightmares of Auschwitz as well. So they became friends, and they appeared together at Auschwitz at an important event. And he told about the experience of the gas chamber and what he had done and what he had experienced. And Eva read this letter of forgiveness addressed to him, to Dr. Mengele, who died, who was actually executed, I believe, after Auschwitz. But she forgave her persecutors. And through that experience of forgiving others, she became a free person. She said all that hatred was lifted from her. And so she began to realize that, and she was criticized for that by a lot of Holocaust survivors for forgiving the Nazis and forgiving her persecutors. But she said, it's not something that everyone has to do. It's something that she found that she could do for herself because it freed her. And if you could meet her today, she's a very happy and free person. And so for the last 15 years, her life has been totally different. And I believe that that's the kind of experience that all of us can have through the grace of God. I think forgiveness is a gift. It's a gift to ourself, certainly, but it's a gift ultimately from God. It's a grace. It's not something that we can earn or deserve. It's like all that everything that God does in our life, our redemption, our salvation, it's a free, merciful gift from our God.
You know, I like that line that you said, it because I do believe that the grace to forgive comes from God.
It does.
So, and we need to ask for that and be open to that possibility. We are approaching the year of mercy. It's right around the corner. And I think that we all want more. I think we all hunger for more. And I know that you've written a couple books that might aid us in that. Faith study groups are often start in Advent or in Lent, but a lot of them start in Advent. Do you have a suggestion or two? I know you've got several books here that you brought with you, but maybe something that might aid our listeners. Again, if you're just now tuning in, listeners, our guest today is Stephen Binns. He is an author many times over, at least 40 books, a psychotherapist, a biblical scholar. We could have made this a two-parter, Jim. Easily we could have done an hour on this one. But for those people that are listening and they want more, and I know that I want, and here at Catholic Radio, we want you to have the best year, the best Advent, and the best year of mercy. I think it's going to be a transformational time for the world, for Catholics specifically, Christians specifically, but for the world, because we are going to change. I think really that we are. Give us some suggestions for some reading materials, and I know you've written several over there. So,
two things that I recommend for the Year of Mercy, and these are things that Pope Francis has urged us to do. One is to go inward, and the best way we can do that is by reflecting on the Scriptures. The Scriptures give us images of the God of mercy, and so these images, our image of God, changes our heart and changes our attitudes and changes our behavior. So the first thing is to meditate on the Scriptures of mercy. And the book that I've written is called Divine Mercy. It's part of the Threshold Bible Study series. And it covers 30 different biblical passages, Old Testament and New Testament, on the God of mercy and how God works deeply in the lives of his people and how God can work in our lives. So 30 passages plus biblical reflection, commentary on those passages, plus a series of questions on how we can reflect personally on those passages for this holy year, and then a prayer, a response to God. And that's the way that all of these Bible studies that I've written works. But Divine Mercy is the one that I particularly recommend for the holy year.
And it's not a huge book either. And looking at it, sometimes books can be just kind of I don't know, just daunting to look at. You think, I'll never get all the way through that. This is a comfortable book. Looks like a, you know, a couple evening read, or you know, you could read it all in one session, really, almost. But there's a lot of good things in there.
Now, and could that also be used for a study, for a faith study group, so a weekly basis, if you will?
Yes, these books are designed so that an individual can read it for him or herself, or it can be used as a group study in a parish.
And kind of a perfect segue to that, I wish we had more time. We always come to this part where it just goes so quickly. Our time goes so quickly. Stephen Binns, author, psychotherapist, biblical scholar. And in closing, I understand that you have written a prayer, the Prayer for Divine Mercy. It's a beautiful little card that Jim and I have the pleasure of keeping here ourselves. But if you could close us out by reading that prayer for our listeners.
Sure, I'll be happy to. On the second night of this mission, I invite everyone to the altar, and we pray this prayer. Merciful Father, I am a sinner, but you hold out your arms to embrace me with your tender compassion. Open the door of your mercy and lead me across the threshold into a deeper life in your church, where I can feel welcomed, loved, forgiven, and encouraged to live in the joy of the gospel. Give me the grace at this moment to experience a personal encounter with Jesus, your Son, who is divine mercy incarnate. Give me courage and confidence to trust in him and to seek refuge in his sacred wounded heart. Through the merits of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on me and on the whole world. Transform my life through meditation on the sacred inspired scriptures and the grace of the sacraments. May I become a channel of your mercy by extending your compassionate care to those around me who are lost and in need. Amen.
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 You've been listening to Faith in Action, underwritten in part by Marian University and by Franciscan St. Francis Health. If you'd like to suggest a guest or a topic for a future program, call us at 317-870-8400 or email mj@catholicradioindy.org. And remember, you can hear or download this program or any Faith in Action program 24/7 at CatholicRadioIndy.org. Just click on the programming tab and select podcasts.
Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. We'd like to thank our supporters, our underwriters, and all those who pray for our success each day. Catholic Radio Indy, 100% Catholic programming 24/7.